Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning as we approach your word, that it will challenge us. But most of all, Lord, that your word will truly bring healing and restoration and show us that you truly are the God of the second chance. So we ask this and we believe that it is so in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we read the scripture today, I want to just talk a little bit about one of the worst serial killers we've had in the last number of decades. Great starting point for a message. But a number of years ago, those of you who are Noel and my age will remember that there was a serial killer called Jeffrey Dahmer. Has anybody come across him? He was famous for having abducted young men, roughly age of 14, for killing them and then cutting up their bodies and putting the body parts into his refrigerator. He was sentenced to life imprisonment, and soon after starting his jail sentence, a fellow prisoner sharpened a broom and stabbed him to death. And one of the comments about that was, "I wish he had have lived longer so he could have suffered more." But that was not a comment God would make. Because God is the God of the second chance. We see this so clearly from the book of Jonah. But what happened in between those two periods, between him being sentenced and starting his jail term, and his death, was that he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into his life. A Church of Christ, kind of an Anglican preacher, went there, a priest went there, shared with him in jail, led him to Christ, and had the privilege of baptizing him. And that story tells me so much about God is the God of the second chance. Because as we look at Jonah and we see and recap a little bit as to where we've been over the last couple of weeks, we see that God sends Jonah to Nineveh, which is a city not unlike Paris. And so many people will look at Paris and they'll say, well, it's given over to sin. They're atheists. Look at the city. Look at the sin. Everywhere we go to bars and we see men kissing each other. We see girls holding hands. We see rampant sin. We see drug abuse. We see every kind of sin in the city. It's traditional for a French man in some circles to have a mistress. And we look at the city and we think, well, I'll go somewhere else. And we're not unlike Jonah, and we look at our time here in Paris and we say, well, I'm not really sent here. I don't really have a mission here, but God has a mission for you. And we are not unlike Jonah if we don't look at the opportunities we have in Paris. It's a rough city. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he looked at Nineveh and he says, they're our enemies. These are people, it's not part of my culture. Here's a group of people who are rebelling against you. Lord, look at their sin. I'm not going there. He didn't even pray that. He just got on a boat opposite direction. Tarshish. Yet as we saw, God gives him another chance. Now God deals with people in different ways. And we must remember that Jonah is a prophet. And to whom much is given, much is required. And if you've been saved a week or a month or a year, God's not going to require the same amount that he's going to require of Suzanne, Joel, the rest of the staff and myself. Because we've been saved for a while and we've been entrusted with the word. So God wants a whole lot more from us. And so for Jonah, it's kind of a tough consequence to his rebellion. The consequence is this storm that God sends. And then he lands up, as you know, in the water and God sends a fish. And how many of you know it's easier to repent on a Sunday morning in church than it is in the belly of a fish? I don't know, but I don't think it smelt too good in there. I mean, seriously, without being too gross, vomit doesn't smell good. Why? Because it's all those gastric juices digesting food. It's not intended to smell good because it's got a purpose. So you're in there with all those gastric juices and those digestive juices and all this rotten food. Boy, you want to get out of there. Lord, I'll repent. I'll repent. I mean, I'd repent quickly if I was in the belly of a fish. But sometimes in life, we need to hit rock bottom in order to hear the Lord. We're busy dealing with a relative in South Africa who is dying. And it's sad to see this man keep on rejecting Christ. And we keep on praying, God, give him another chance. God, give him another chance. And God gives him another chance. And he rejects that chance. And we say, God, give him another chance. And we're trusting that even if it's his last, his very last breath on this planet, he'll say, Jesus, I surrender. Because God is the God of Jonah. He's the God of the second chance. So let's pick up from where we left off. I'm going to build on where Joel shared last week. Joel really did a good job in sharing some profound aspects of this passage. So we're going to read from verse 10 of chapter 3, and we're going to read through chapter 4, and that's going to be our text this morning. So in verse 10 of chapter 3, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Verse 1. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. So as we explore this passage today, we're going to look at the nature of God. We're going to see some beautiful things coming out in the character of God. We're also going to see the nature of man. And I trust we won't see too many things that will be too much in our hearts, but if they are, well, here's a chance to correct. But as I look at Jonah, I can't, ouch, oops, that's me. I'm not always grateful. So this seemed very wrong, and he became angry, and he prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? And then in verse 5, Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city, where he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up. How's that for additional grace? And gave shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plants that had withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. I'm so angry, I wish I was dead. How's Jonah's attitude here? And then in verse 10, but the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? So this is a weird book. If you'll go back to the first slide, we'll go through a few things here. Because it's a prophetic book, and Jonah's a prophet, yet it's so different from the other prophetic books. Because it really contains no prophecy as such, though we know from history in the historical books of the Bible that Jonah was a prophet in the times of the kings. So it's not a fable, it's a real story. This really happened. But as we look at it, let's explore a few points here and a few things, and let's see what God's got for us. The first thing we see is this amazing grace of God. So God relented from the harm that he would. Now, God's nature as the righteous God, in order to sit on the throne and be the righteous judge, God has to judge sin. Otherwise, he himself disqualifies from being the righteous judge. So God has to judge sin, but it's not his first choice. He doesn't want to judge sin. He doesn't want to judge people. He has to judge sin. So he's going to always look for a way of bringing grace in and bring salvation. And that's why he sends Jonah to Nineveh. And sometimes we don't understand our responsibility as such, as people on this planet. We have a ministry of reconciliation, every single one of us. We have a responsibility. God saved you for a reason, not just for your own entering to heaven, but for the people around you. And when we come to Christ, we should immediately have this attitude of, who else can I share the gospel with? Who else can I lead to Christ? But one of the beautiful things we see with Jonah here is God doesn't use perfect vessels. If I had to wait to have a perfect marriage in order to help anyone else in their marriage, we would never do any marriage counseling. I got a nod from Joel. Thank you. There's one person who... If I had to wait to be sin-free to counsel someone to have victory over sin, I'd never counsel anybody. But it's beautiful the way God uses imperfect vessels. Grace is never licensed to sin, but here is a beautiful story about how God not only gives Nineveh a second chance, but gives Jonah a second chance. How many times have I been in situations in my life where I've missed it with God? I remember in my early Christian walk, I was in the army. And I saw a person having an epileptic fit, and I felt so strongly on my heart, go and lay your hands on that person and pray. And my initial thought was, what will other people think? And I backed away. And in some ways, that has haunted me for ages, because if God instructs, I've got to obey. I think I shared the story a little while back, earlier in this year, when I was in the gym playing a game of squash. In between games, I walked to the water fountain. And as I walked to the water fountain, I felt very strong in my heart. God said to me, speak to the woman who's on bicycle next to the water fountain. Now, here's a woman I've never met in my life. I've never seen her in the gym. Don't know her at all. And I feel God say, what am I going to say? I had nothing to say to her. But God says, go speak to her. I can't be God. So I go back and play another game of squash. Lost the game badly because my mind was on the woman and not on the game. It's a whole lot better losing a game of squash than being in the belly of a fish. Lost the game, went back, another drink of water. Impression was so strong, I went up to her. And as I went up to her, the message God had for her came to me. And I said to her, God knows there's a mountain in your life. God knows this is what's happening in your life. And he's here. He wants to tell you he's removing that mountain in your life. And as I shared those words with her, tears came down her face. And she just burst into tears. I never saw her again. But God gave me another chance, even though I was disobedient. And God gives us chances. He gives us. Our nature, as we see in Jonah, is one of rebellion. And then we also have this reaction. So to Jonah, it seems wrong, very wrong, and he became angry. So when God relents from the harm that he will cause, because you'll remember, Jonah proclaims in the city of Nineveh, 30 days, was it 30 days? 30 days and Nineveh will fall. 40 days, sorry. So 40 days and Nineveh will fall. And God relents from the harm that he will cause the city because they repent. And it's like, heaven is rejoicing. The Bible says that when a sinner repents, angels rejoice. When you lead someone to the Lord, heaven opens up and applauds you. And that's the time we should rejoice and say, wow, there's someone who's come to Christ. And Jonah says, nah, not happy with us. They dirty, rotten sinners. They should deserve to burn. The same reaction to the people who said that Jeffrey Dahmer, he should have stayed longer in jail because he should have suffered longer for his sin. But that's not the God of grace. That's not the God of compassion. That's not the God of love. We've experienced all kinds of turmoil in Africa. And I remember not too long ago there was some unrest in the DRC. Some people from one of the opposing groups were going through the rural areas and they came across some Catholic nuns who were running an orphanage. And they ravaged the place and they ravaged the women. Catholic nuns raped, murdered. One of those Catholic nuns survived. And she hunted down, or when the government, when the police hunted down the perpetrators, arrested them, she made it a point and she went to the jail cell when that person was sentenced, those guys were sentenced, and she sat across them and she said, "I forgive you." Because if that's the only way that that person can ever see Christ in our forgiveness. And that's why the attitude of Jonah is so wrong. Because when we rejoice in people's salvation, we're displaying the very nature of Christ. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to share the love and spread the love. So Jonah becomes angry. And he says, "I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger." Well, this Jonah gets this spot on because that is God. He's gracious, he's compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. When Peter writes his epistle, I think it's 1 Peter, he says it is the long suffering of God that leads to repentance. People often ask, why do bad things happen to good people and good things seem to happen to bad people? Well, one answer is God's long suffering with the heathen in order to give them another chance to come to Christ. So Jonah says, verse 3, "Now Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." I love the way God answers this. Is it right for you to be angry? You know how many times we pray unscriptural prayers? That's an unscriptural prayer. Take away my life. You can't say to God, "Take away my life," because you're not happy. I love God's response. He ignores the question. The disciples one day said to Jesus, "Increase our faith." He ignored the question. God doesn't just zap, increase your faith. Zap, increase your faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you want faith, go read your Bible, study it, meditate on it. Faith will come. So what does Jesus do when the disciples say increase our faith? He teaches them a story because he teaches them the word because that's the way to build their faith. I love the way God deals with our unscriptural questions. So is it right for you to be angry? So it almost kind of changes the subject. And then in verse 5. So Jonah goes out and what does God do? Now Jonah goes to sit on the side of the city because he's waiting for God to change his mind and cause damage again. I just want to see if this really happens. Is God really going to be gracious? Look what these guys are. They're our enemies. Nineveh is a heathen city. You know how difficult it is to go into a heathen city? Yeah, you do. One of the things that we want to do as a group sometime is we want to go down to Salazar, one of those places, and we want to take one of those pianos. You know those pianos that people play in public areas or at La Défense? We want to take over one of those pianos and we want to play that piano. We want to take along other musical instruments and we want to... You know, chances are we can get persecuted and people are going to mock us because it's a sinful city. But if God says, "Go to Salazar and play the piano there," then we can't sit at home and watch TV. We must obey. I'm getting some smiles saying, "I hope it's not you. I hope it's not me you've got in mind to play the piano." But it's not me, believe me. I'll go along. I won't sing. Because if I sing or play the piano, I'll definitely scare people away. It won't be the gospel that will scare people away. Why are you laughing? So he waited to see what would happen to that city. But then God, to ease his discomfort. So here is a rebellious prophet, a moody, rebellious prophet. And he's waiting to see what's going to happen. And God still provides a tree so that he can be protected from the sun. mean, come on. I mean, how is God's grace? How is God the God of the second chance? And it's so wonderful for you and me to know that God is not just the God of the second chance, because when Peter said to Jesus, how many times must I forgive my brother? Jesus said, 70 times 7. And I can see Thomas, the doubter, getting out his calculator and saying 490 times. Okay, I got that right. But God's not talking 490 times. We don't only forgive 490 times. Otherwise, we're Pharisees. So he eases his discomfort. And at dawn the next day, God provided a worm. Why does God provide a worm? He first provides protection, then he provides a worm. Well, it's really simple. Jonah, you missed it for the first time. You landed in the sea. I provided a fish to sort you out. You're missing it again, and you're waiting for something you shouldn't wait on. So what am I going to do? I provided a tree, but you can't stay there forever, Jonah. It's time to move on. And so God will use circumstances and situations to get us to move on. Sometimes we just need to see them. And Jonah gets cross again. And he says in verse 8, it would be better for me to die than to live. Same kind of thing. And God says the same thing again. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? So he says, I wish I were dead. And then in verse 10, but the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow, but you should have concern of the city of Nineveh. And that's really where you and I should be at. God wants us to have concern about the people around us. It's so easy for us to do what Jonah did and to fall into the trap of saying, I'm not going, they should have repented. Should Nineveh have been a sinful city? No. Should they have accepted God? Yes. Why? Because the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Paul says in Romans 1 that there is no one who is without excuse. Every single person should accept God, whether he knows his name as Jesus or not. But how are they going to get a second chance if you and I don't go? I want to tell you a story as we kind of come into land, and then we're going to spend a little time reflecting, and Carolina's going to sing a song for us. But a number of years ago, my mother was going in for surgery. She had need of a valve in her heart being replaced. So they were taking out the valve, putting in a plastic valve. A serious operation, but not life-threatening at all, until the surgeon cut too close to the nerve center in her heart and they needed to put a pacemaker in. And that didn't go very well. There were problems with that. And we got the dreaded call at about 11:30 one night. Come. So I picked up my sister, her husband, and my father, and we traveled to the other side of town. It's a very tough journey. It was about 20, 30 minutes and silence in the car. But during that silence, I prayed this prayer. I said, God, when Israel rebelled and disobeyed, Moses stood in the gap for Israel. And you delivered Israel from the harm that you would cause them because you love Moses. I said, your word says that of all the Old Testament prophets, none of them are as great as John the Baptist in the context of what Jesus was saying. But he then said that he who is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. It's because of our relationship with Christ, because we're born again, because we are children of the Most High God. So I played that card to God in my prayer. I said, God, because you love me, because I'm a child of God, I'm asking you to give my mother one more chance. Give her another chance. Got to the hospital, and you know as well as I do that if the cardiologist is there after midnight, it's serious. So first my father goes in, he comes out of the intensive care ward, bleak. My sister goes in, she comes out bleak. My brother-in-law goes in, he comes out bleak. As I stepped across that threshold going into the hospital, something came on me that I can only attribute to the Holy Spirit. And I went into that hospital, I went and sat down next to a bed, and the cardiologist was saying, there is no blood pressure. The blood pressure is dropping. I can't find a vein. I can't put a drip in. He was basically saying, I'm losing her. As he did that, he was sitting on the left side of the bed. I stood on the right side of the bed. I hardly said a word. I took my hand and I placed it on my mother's arm. And as I did that, he said, wow, blood pressure's up. I found a line. I've got the line in. A couple of days later, my mother was discharged from intensive care. And a couple of days later, she was discharged from hospital. 10 years later, she called me from, she was spending some time with her sister in a town called Bloemfontein. She called me and she said, I have to tell you the good news. I'm born again. Three months later, she died. I want to encourage you. God is the God of the second chance. God wants to give you another chance to share the gospel with your family. He wants to give you another chance to share the gospel with your neighbors. He's looking for a Moses to stand in the gap, and he's looking for a Jonah who will go, who will not be moody and be upset and say, no, they're dirty, rotten sinners, they deserve to die. But he's looking for someone who has the compassion and very nature of God residing inside. And he's saying, Lord, here am I, send me. Bring the sinners along, Lord. I will share. I don't care about my reputation. I will lay hands on the sick. I will do what you've called me to do. That is a group of people that God is seeking. And I want to encourage you to be part of that people. I want to encourage you to join Suzanne and Joel at that Holy Spirit meeting. I want to encourage you to learn more about God. Learn more about what He wants to do. God does not need perfect vessels. You say, well, what will I share with a sinner? All you have to do is say, I was a sinner. I accepted Christ. I'm now going to heaven. That's enough. I've heard the weirdest messages preached and people have responded. Totally unscriptural. God will use the little bit of knowledge you've got or the lot of knowledge you've got. He wants to do that. He wants to give people another chance because He's the God of the second chance. So let's listen to the words as Carolina sings the song. Let's reflect on our lives. And I really want to trust that the Holy Spirit's going to bring names across your path. People who you can say, okay, I'm going to pray for that person. They might be Jeffrey Dahmer's. They might be your mother. They might be people close to you. They might be people far away. But I'm regularly praying, God, give that person another chance. And slowly, step by step, I can see we're ticking names off the list. Because He's a God of grace. He's a God of compassion. He's a God long-suffering who wants to see people's lives changed.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.